Thank you. Good morning. This is for the purposes of the transcript. This is GAC capacity building beginning at 10:30 a.m. going until noon in room 4AB on Saturday, July 13th.
All right, good morning, everyone. Can we take our seats? We're about to start. All right, welcome. I hope you've had a good night's rest for those who've come in yesterday and not too jet-lagged. Welcome to our capacity building session. My name is Tracy Hackshaw. I am from Trinidad and Tobago. I am one of the new vice chairs of the GAC. The other vice chairs are not here as yet, but Thomas Schneider from Switzerland and Peter Nettle from Australia are the other members, the other vice chair, sorry. And to my left, for those who don't know, it's Miss Heather Dryden, who is the chair. Perhaps what we could do to start off is, for those who are new, maybe you could indicate just quickly who you are, and just so we could get to know who is the first-time attendees of the GAC meetings. Just a quick poll around the table, who are first-time, maybe first- and second-time attendees. Can I start from the left? Yeah? Anyone new?
Good morning, and I'm Yamaguchi from Japan, Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications. Thank you.
Welcome, Japan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm from China, the Ministry of Ministry of Information and Telecommunications. Thank you.
Welcome, China.
Hello, good morning, everyone. I'm Marcela Paiva from Chile, from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, General Director of International Economic Affairs.
Hi, welcome, Chile.
Good morning, Denis Gonzalez from Chile, too, from the Undersecretariat of Telecommunications.
Welcome, Chile.
Good morning. I'm Per Brumark from Sweden, but representing the government of Niue.
Okay, welcome. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrea Tadorn from the Government of Canada. I'm an economist working in telecommunications policy at Industry Canada. Thank you.
Welcome, Canada.
Hello, my name is Markéta Novákova. I'm from the Czech Republic and from the Ministry of Industry and Trade.
Welcome, Czech Republic. Welcome. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Mauro Milita from Vatican City State. It is not our first meeting, of course, but I'm glad to know you as well.
Welcome, Vatican City.
Good morning. My name is Camino Manjón. I come from Belgium representing the European Commission, and this is my first meeting. Thank you.
Welcome, European Commission.
Good morning. My name is Charles. I'm from the government of Belgium. Thank you.
Welcome, Belgium.
Good morning. My name is Henrik Kassen, Director for ICT Development in the Republic of Namibia.
Welcome, Namibia.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Heather Dryden, and I work with the Canadian government. I'm also the chair of the Governmental Advisory Committee, and it's really good to see new faces, but as well some of our more experienced colleagues as well. It's important to have some experience participating in this session and contributing to this effort. So hello, everyone.
Thanks, Heather. Pamela?
Okay, it's my first meeting in 2013. I'm Ronaldo from Brazil. I was the GAC representative in 2011-2012. I have been out for two meetings, but I'm back probably just for this meeting. But nice to meet you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mark Carvel. I'm representing United Kingdom and its overseas territories. I lead on internet governance policy in the UK ministry with responsibility for that area, ICT policy in in general. That's the Department for Culture, Media and Sport. I first took up the UK seat on the GAC in Paris, I think it was, in 2008, which was the meeting when the decision was taken to launch the GTLDs round, as I recall. And I found it very difficult to understand what the hell was going on, but I was reassured that that critical decision was taken then. So it is, ICANN is a difficult, complex environment. It does take a while to get to understand how the network of committees and constituencies and supporting organizations works. I hope this session will help those who are joining for the first time or who have recently joined in trying to understand how we play a role in that environment. Thank you.
Thank you, UK.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Suzanne Rudell. I'm with the U.S. Department of Commerce. We have a very long name for a very small agency. I come from the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, and we have been, as an agency, very involved with ICANN since its inception. Ladies don't normally like to discuss their age, so I will not tell you how old I am. However, I believe I'm one of the longest-serving representatives here. My first meeting was October 2003, so that tells you how ancient I am. I do believe that my colleagues from Italy and the Netherlands may have been attending a few more meetings than I have. But so I'm in my 10th year of tracking all ICANN issues for my agency and being the U.S. representative to the GAC. And I will be very interested in getting some of the views of our newer members so that we can collaborate together. One outcome that I would like to put out as a proposed way forward is that whatever suggestions we develop, we can share with ICANN's multi-stakeholder engagement team so that we can help inform the activities of all of those staff members who are doing liaison with governments, our counterparts in the different regions, and that we can help inform that process so that it is very collaborative with the GAC. So good morning, everybody. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Blair Zazitemina. I come from DRC, Democratic Republic of the Congo, and this is my first meeting within you. Thank you.
Welcome, Congo.
Bonjour, je vais vous obliger à mettre vos casques.
My name is Mary Kwande. And it's my first meeting. I'm going to participate in this meeting of capacity building.
From Thailand. So this is the first meeting in capacity building that I joined since the Beijing.
Welcome, Thailand.
Good morning. My name is Peter Major. I'm representing Hungary. I'm an advisor to the permanent mission of Hungary in Geneva to the UN. And this is not my first meeting. Thank you.
Welcome, Hungary.
Oui, bonjour. Je m'appelle Théophile Yogondo.
I'm a representative of Gabon. Thank you.
Gabon.
Good morning. My name is Tony Tan from Taiwan, working for Ministry of Transportation and Communications. Thank you.
Welcome, Taiwan.
This is Sayyid Iftikhar Hussain. I'm GAC representative of Government of Pakistan. I really appreciate the efforts of GAC because GAC is the forum from which government of the countries can raise the issues regarding the domain name system and its management. Thank you.
Welcome, Pakistan.
Good morning. My name is Shahram Sobhutipur from Iran. I'm acting as a consultant to the Iranian GAC representative. Thank you.
Welcome, Iran.
Good morning to everybody. My name is Mr. Oroste, Senior Advisor to the Ministry of Communication and Information Technology of Iran. Thank you.
Welcome, Iran.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kirill Aparin. I am from Russian Federation, representing the Ministry of Telecommunication. Thank you. It's my first time.
Welcome, Russian Federation. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dongun Won. I'm representing Korea, and it's my second time here. Thank you.
Welcome, Korea.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Sam Paltridge. I represent the OECD. We're observers at the GAC. There's many people here that have been to many more meetings, but I did go to the first GAC meeting back in Singapore. So perhaps that could be added to the list.
Welcome, OECD. Okay, behind me, the table behind me, we have our support team. Directly on my left will be Jeannie Ellers from ICANN. Olof, what's yours? Yeah? Norkin. Yeah, from ICANN. And Tom Dale. Tom Dale from our proposed secretariat team. So welcome, everyone. Just to remind everyone that you, as GAC members, you do have access to the GAC website, which is gac.icann.org. If you don't have your credentials, please check with Jeannie and the team to obtain those credentials, where you'll find some of the material for today's session. If you look in your folder, there's some has been printed for you today as well, the folder and the blue folder on your desk. As well, we have translation and interpretation for today's session. We have a scribe, as you can see, doing it in English, and it'll be translated later on into the languages. And we have live interpretation behind us. So if you don't have your headsets and your translation wireless devices, please collect them for those who are going to be speaking in their native languages. All right. So let's begin. Is that okay with everyone? I don't know, Heather, you have anything else to add to that part of it? Context?
I think that's a very good beginning. And just a bit of explanation about the idea behind these capacity building sessions. It is organized by the Governmental Advisory Committee and members in it in order to talk a bit specifically about the GAC and how it works and to try to assist new or newer members to become familiar with the role of this committee and how it works. So we have done sessions before, because we're in Africa, we hope that we can give a bit of a regional flavor to our efforts today and welcome some colleagues from Africa along with all of our other new and newer members. So thank you for coming, and I'll hand back to Tracy to take us through the program today, and I will do my best to contribute and assist in answering questions and so on about the committee. So, Tracy.
Thank you, Heather. In your document, in your package, there's a background document called in the capacity building session for GAC representatives. In that document, you will see a structure that we would like to follow. However, at this point in time, we are waiting for one of our ICANN staff members to present at 11 a.m. So we'll do a very brief introduction to the GAC and the role of the GAC. Basically, let me start with me. I started in the GAC in 2010, coming from the fellowship program. So for those of you who may or may not understand the fellowship program, I know Serena from Romania is from the fellowship program, and some other people here may have come through the fellowship program as well. That's a program that ICANN has set up for developing and emerging countries, provide support for their participation in meetings. And the GAC as well provides travel support for members of developing countries for those meetings. For me in particular, the GAC plays a significant role in my country in understanding what the internet means for the government of Trinidad and Tobago and how we are participating in that internet governance perspective. From a previous role, we understood it from the United Nations-only perspective, from the ITU-only perspective. And what ICANN provides is a different view to understanding the what the internet means, from the issue of the root, the issue of security and stability of the root, as well as the from the domain name and DNS perspectives. From where I sit, the role of the GAC is very important to a developing country. As we sit here today around the table, I'm seeing many developing countries. Our voices need to be heard in a discussion around the table where we have several of our colleagues from Africa, Latin America, Asia, Europe, North America. And we do want to have that voice and participate in that discussion and share in these deliberations and these decisions that are being made. And as the United States said, using a multi-stakeholder model, where we all participate as part of a larger policy-making process. In terms of what the GAC is, its role is, it really is to provide advice to the ICANN board. If you look in your package, there's something called an affirmation of commitments that sort of gives you a good summary, a perspective of how the GAC might operate. And Heather, there's currently a second team, ATRT2. Maybe you could explain a little bit about what that team is doing and how the role of the GAC might fit into the ATRT2 and what ATRT1 did in the few minutes we have before Pierre turns up.
I will do my best. So the Accountability and Transparency Review Team is one of four review teams coming out of a document called the Affirmation of Commitments. And this is a document that was signed by ICANN and by the U.S. Department of Commerce. And at this point, the idea behind this document was to turn over ICANN to the internet community. And so it's meant to be a long-standing document. And so the reviews that are outlined there are a really key piece of an ongoing way to ensure accountability for the organization. And the Governmental Advisory Committee was given a particular role regarding the review teams. So on the one hand, the chair of the GAC is one of the selectors for all of the review teams. For the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, the co-selector with the chair of the GAC is the chair of the board. And for the other three, the co-selector is the CEO of ICANN. And as well, it is provided for that the chair or a chair's designate would participate in those review teams. So in this way, it was considered to be a strengthening of the role of the GAC in the ongoing direction of the organization. And so the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, which you might think of as being the overall overarching review team, is particularly of interest to governments as a means of providing inputs into a review team that is designed to act independently. And be responsive to the proposals or concerns that have been raised. And there are a series of recommendations that were made as part of the first review team that relate to the GAC and making improvements to how GAC's processes work, how we work with the board, how we track our outputs, and confirm that they have been responded to or acted upon, implemented, and so on. So most of those recommendations have been implemented. There's one left that we're working on that's about involving the Governmental Advisory Committee early on in the policy development process, and so that's on our agenda this week to discuss. But in the meantime, the second review team has been formed, and they have an interesting task because not only are they going to look at making new recommendations, but they are to assess progress against the work of the first review team, as well as reviewing two of the other three. So the review team on what's called WHOIS, which is the lookup service for domain name registrants, and the policies around that. So there was a review team for that topic as well. There was a review team on security, stability, and resiliency of the domain name system. And so the current review team, the second review team, is reviewing that earlier work as well as seeking now further inputs, whether it's about the GAC or whether it's about other aspects of how ICANN is structured, whether it's related to the board, and these kinds of topics. So that's another item that's on the agenda for this week. We will meet with the Accountability and Transparency Review Team members and have a chance as GAC members, as governments, to talk about some of the things that governments are concerned about in the management of ICANN and ensuring that it remains both accountable and transparent to the entire community, which of course includes governments. So I'll jump off at that point if you're ready to move to the next.
Yes, so thank you very much, Heather. That was an extremely very concise, thank you very much, and enlightening expression of what ICANN is doing now with the GAC in terms of moving it forward into the, I guess, a new dispensation, new arrangements as more and more governments get involved and more governments from the developing will get involved with the ICANN model. What I'd like to encourage you to do is to, on the GAC list, there have been several reports and several interventions being made by the ATRT2 team. Heather will be making those interventions as well, so please contribute and add your voices to that discussion so that all members on the team can contribute accordingly. We'd like to quickly move to intervene. We'll, on the agenda, we have item 5, an item that we have brought up due to ICANN staff member being available. To my right, we have Mr. Pierre D'Angino, who is the ICANN Vice President for Stakeholder Engagement for Africa. A very privileged and honored to have him here today. He's a friend of ICANN, a friend of the GAC. And what we like to do is have Pierre kind of give a brief overview as to maybe what he sees ICANN's role and the GAC's role today, the role of ICANN in Africa, a little bit about ICANN's reform strategy and stakeholder engagement model for Africa in particular, as well as the rest of the world. Pierre?
Thank you very much, and it's my honor and pleasure, you know, to be with you this morning, and I really thank you for the opportunity given to actually talk about some of the manifestation of the internationalization, you know, strategy of ICANN, and specifically in Africa. And, of course, I will be talking and then expressing the greetings, you know, from Sally and also from Tarek, whom you know, and who really send their best regards to all of you. So what I'm going to do briefly is actually talk about the what we call the Africa strategy and also how we are organizing ourselves to roll out this strategy to the benefit, you know, of the African region. But I have to say that this also is part of the greater, you know, strategy of internationalization of ICANN, and which is already being rolled out because I'm VP, Vice President for Africa, but I also, we do have, you know, other VPs in other regions, in Latin America, Europe, and Asia, and all of us now are having this sort of kind of strategy, meaning it's what I might call a tool for engaging or further engagement, you know, of ICANN with distinct regions. So obviously, region, you know, varies in terms of, you know, the expectations and also, therefore, in terms of the delivery that ICANN, you know, will provide to them. As far as Africa is concerned, it's actually all started, you know, last July, close to 1 year ago, where the new CEO, President CEO, Fadi, in fact met with the African community at one of the ICAN meetings, and then what came up, you know, for this meeting was to actually establish a kind of strategy that really says exactly what Africans are expecting from ICAN. I also have to say that this was also timely because you might remember when we had the ICAN 42nd, I think, in Dakar, the African minister in charge of ICT, you know, met as kind of pre-conference event, and after 2 days they came up with a communique. And the communique was trying to do exactly the following: make sure that ICAN be much more present in Africa, but also ensure that Africans really participate, you know, within Africans in the different constituencies. And they had kind of 12 questions to the board of ICAN. And then Dr. Kruger, of course, gave responses to those, you know, 12 questions. But all of this boils down to renewing the relationship with Africa. So one way of doing this, of course, was this strategy. So a working group was formed, which is African working group of 9 people selected from different, you know, region of Africa. And then we conducted some sort of, I would say, interviewing with different people. And a questionnaire was sent out so that we have clearly knowledge of what people are expecting. This ultimately transpired into the Africa strategy, which has been presented in Toronto. And later on, I can proceed in kind of staffing now, you know, Africa to roll out this strategy. I was therefore appointed in December 2012 to actually help roll out this strategy. But basically, what the strategy is about, as far as Africa is concerned, I mean, the figures are there. Africa still needs to really participate, you know, to ICAN. But moreover, they need to be part of the whole internet business and industry. You will also recall that with the new GTLD program, for instance, where we had 1,900, you know, plus, you know, kind of requests, only 17 of them came out of Africa. And even the 17 of them, 16 came from only one country in Africa. But Africa is about 54 countries. So clearly there was something to be done in parts of having registrar in Africa, but also having sort of this, then benefit from this new GTLD program. So obviously something is needed to be done. The strategy, therefore, line up a few kind of key objectives. And one of them is to, how do you broaden the African environment so that it's really become a market? How do you make Africa kind of a market, of a domain market? Today, we do have 5 to 6 registrars, ICAN accredited registrar in Africa. They are struggling, actually, to do this business because the market needs to be broadened. They need to much more capacity to do what you might call, you know, outreaching to the potential, you know, users. In terms of technology, you know, and also in terms of financial, they are facing financial barriers. For instance, as a registrar, you need to get some insurance, and this is a lot of money for some of them. So how do they get that money is an issue for them. So it all transpired in this strategy, and I'm going to extend some of the leaflet we developed, which clearly shows the strategic objectives and also a few projects. For the financial year 13, what I did as a VP was to come up with an action plan, and the action plan lined up a few priority projects, you know, 8 of them. And basically, I'm going to go through quickly, and then we might have any question you have. One of the key projects, you know, we thought about was what we call the DNSSEC Roadshow. It's about securing DNSSEC in DNS in Africa. And the roadshow, we selected 8 countries, and to do basically the following: assess the current status of the DNS management in those places and see what are the security issues there. And therefore, see how ICANN staff and others, experts could help that specific, country deal with securing, its domain name. It has happened. We visited 4 countries, and we are going to have a report here during ICANN 47 on how it goes. Now we do have a map on how Africa is faring when it comes to securing the DNS. The other project we are having is what you call the Africa DNS Award. We really want to recognize the very few that are really promising, and then some of the countries are doing well. And then we launched this awards program, and we formed a committee for the awards. They are going to deliberate, and hopefully on Monday, next Monday, and at 1 o'clock, we'll be having an Africa strategy session, and also we'll be actually handing out this award to 2 promising, Africa registrar and registries. The other key program we really want to launch is what we are calling the kind of incubator program for young entrepreneurs in Africa. We do believe that unless you do have this young entrepreneur, in the loop, you will not have this, digital, what we are calling digital Africa. So we really want to push them, and we will be partnering with different, organizations to see how we could put together this sort of incubator program, and might be incubator in areas, in Africa, or piggybacking on some of the incubators that really exist today. And one of the key things we did also was to really organize the first ever meeting of registries in Africa. That was in Addis Ababa in March. This forum we started in Addis now, we're actually conducting another forum here as a pre-conference event. It started yesterday, and then we're finishing today, where we brought more than 100 people, basically from registry business. The global leaders are there now, and they are exchanging, views with Africans, especially on very specific areas, how do you grow the market. So it's all about capacity development when it comes to Africa and those things. One of the 2 things also I've been doing as a VP, and before I took that job, I really didn't know that that was a very important an issue, which is redelegation in Africa. Close to 10 countries today are really asking for redelegation for different reasons, actually. But they need to abide by a few, procedures that ICANN and then IANA, set out. And sometime you really need to do some outreach and to provide some policy, advice to some of the countries. And letters coming, from ministers, requesting redelegation. We take them quite seriously, but we also make sure that we help them out of the procedures so that they got this redelegation as fast as possible. So this is something we are doing. And, of course, we are looking for partnership. I'm going to actually start kind of campaign on the what you call policymakers in Africa, meeting with ministers, also going to Africa Union, and see how we could together deal with issues that are raised by the African internet community. So I really much encourage participation from different arenas, and I'm so happy to be talking with you. And I'll be ready to actually receive any concerns, or any piece of advice you might have on this Africa strategy, which really epitomizes what we might call kind of new sort of season that the CEO is bringing to ICANN. So, Chair, that's what I wanted to share, and thanks for your attention.
Thank you, Pierre. I hope you can stay for a little bit longer if there are any questions. I'd like to open the floor for questions to Pierre or on any other topic that may have been raised earlier. First, for Pierre, any questions from the floor? All right. So, Namibia? Yeah.
Thank you. I would like to thank my brother from Africa for the presentation. I just noticed that, of course, Namibia is greenfield in terms of this area. I think we have our running of the internet and domain names and so on a little bit isolated, and that's why I'm here, to understand more what is going on and how the government can assist. I do understand that we do not need to drive or take over because the internet community needs to do that. So I just noticed that, as I've said, greenfield, meaning there's on government level and policy level, there's not much going on. Your DNS roadshows, you chose eight countries in Africa. Maybe do you have the intention to expand that? And then I would just actually register Namibia's interest in that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your question. And actually, yesterday I met with one of your Namibian representatives at the forum, who already expressed his sort of concern. Yeah, definitely. We know that Namibia normally is supposed to be one of the those who have certified their zone, meaning that your DNSSEC is fine. But of course, we also understand that there are a few issues surrounding this. And yeah, we are open, and I will be touching base with your government on that, definitely.
You can.
Yes, thanks very much. Very important initiative, the Africa strategy. Very much support that, and I'll just switch from my UK hat to a Commonwealth hat. I'm very active in the Commonwealth Internet Governance Forum and related Commonwealth activities on internet governance, and one of the things I'm very conscious of is the significant number of African states that are not actually on the GAC. You know, there's these include Sierra Leone, Zambia, Lesotho, Burundi, the Gambia, Zimbabwe, they're not on the GAC. And I hope, well, I'm pretty certain, of course, your strategy fully takes that into account, that outreach to governments and appreciation of within their administrations of why it's important to participate in the GAC and contribute to development of markets and domain name system in the interests of communities and cultures in Africa is vitally important, and participation in the GAC is critical to that, one critical element to that, as well as the outreach, as you say, in terms of market developments, registrars and registries and so on. We are planning, it's early stages yet, to have a Commonwealth Forum, perhaps at the London ICANN meeting next summer, and look forward to working with ICANN, yourself and your colleagues in preparing for that, and Africa and that, and the regional interest is obviously a very important part of that agenda and the planning for that. So I just wanted to add those comments, and thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you, Yuki. Are there any other questions for Pierre? Iran?
Thank you, Chairman, and thanks for the presentation, which was quite useful and raised some issues, first of all, with respect to the number of GTLD at the given statistics among 1,900 and something, few from Africa. That is a point that needs to be further considered. A second point is about the participations or lack of participation or non-sufficient participation of colleagues, in particular African colleagues in the meeting of GAC. That might be also an issue to see is it because of the financial problems, because of lack of staff, because of lack of resources in general, and what we can do about that, whether one some sort of further promotion of the remote participation could assist in one way or other.
We have had an experience of that remote participation, at least in some other meetings, that it was not quite possible to do that, first of all, with respect to the meeting that we have, interpretations, the quality of the sound should be a certain level in order to be properly interpreted in other languages. And second, sometimes the availability of the connections. We have been in some formal meeting that it was not possible to have that sort of remote even presentation rather than participations. And participation remotely are two ways. One way would be a passive participation, that listening to the discussions, at least benefiting of what's going on. And the other is active participation, that raising questions and asking the floor. And we have to see to what extent that is possible. In particular, some of the meetings that the decision-making meetings, to see whether that possibility could exist. And that is and the third one is the fellowship, to see to what extent we could increase the number of fellowship of developing countries' participation. This has been issue in all other international meetings, not only a specificity of GAC and so on. With respect to the, I just wanted to do it tomorrow, but I just refer to it today. With respect to the role of GAC, perhaps I have been in this business, not directly in the attending the GAC meeting, but I started to do it recently to better understand GAC, to better understand the ICANN situation, and also better understand how we could make it more friendly and how we could improve the relations between the governments and, let us say, the ICANN. In the term that we have started in 2010 in plenipotentiary in Guadalajara in Mexico, and that was a good step, and this step needs to be continued. Perhaps I further elaborate that at a later stage. But this needs to be further promoted. There should be a clear understanding of the way that ICANN works, and also this is the point that I want to make at this meeting and maybe later on. We need to increase the role of government in the ICANN. And I would say that currently our role is advisory capacity. And you know the advisory capacity. You give the advice, and the entity may take the advice or may not take the advice. Although it is properly mentioned that sometimes if they don't take the advice, they will give the reasons and rationale behind that, why they don't take the advice. But at the end of the day, it is option to act, to take or not take the advice. We would like to, for our later works in next year and coming years that we are dealing in 2014, a process which is called WSIS plus 10 process, and we concentrate on the information society role for all countries, including developing countries, and that is something that we need to be further promoted. I don't want to go further that, but I think that we need to further promote the relation between the government and ICANN. I have read the transcript of the last meeting, meeting 46, and with respect to the relation with international intergovernmental organizations, that a good step was taken, and it was mentioned that there is a long way to go. Yes, I agree with that. There's a long way to go, and we have to further work on that and to make it more understandable to the people, to increase the trust. I'm not saying that to remove the mistrust. I am positively looking to the matter, but to increase the trust between the two entities. And when we dealing with that issue, it should be recognized that One of the international intergovernmental organizations, although it is not more important than the others, but has a specific role, and because they are the carrying of the or carrier of the networks, and that is ITU. And relation with that is very, very important. And we have to improve and we have to foster, we have to promote that in a better way in order to increase this trust or further establish the trust between the two entities. I stop at this stage. I want to go, don't want to go further, but I want to just leave this at this moment. Another point that I come back to this number of the GTLDs, the 17 in Africa and the 1,900 something, the whole things. I think there was also some elements on that. Whether we take the issue of equitable equitability issue, or whether we are calling or of the needs, or whether we are calling of the first come first serve, these are the issues that we need to be look at. The GTLD growing issues. Maybe in future we will be very, very busy if the number increases as such, and if we, for each issue we have so much problems, so much difficulty, so much discussions, then we may not really have a results that we wanted. So we have to have a better understanding of the growing of the GTLD and how we should manage that. I'm not saying to control that, but have how to manage that in a positive and in a very constructive manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Ran.
Quick. Thank you. Thank you for those comments and also suggestions and questions as well. And definitely, in terms of increasing our relationship with other international organizations, the ITU, for instance. I would say that, of course, things have been done, and you remember that Fadi, the CEO, was invited, you know, at the Dubai meeting, WTDC, and it went well. And in fact, the relationship is growing, and then trust is being kind of created. Then, so as far as this is concerned, I think things are going on well. Dr. Tarek also is working on kind of global strategy for engaging with government, and certainly we'll be sharing this with you sometime. And this really clarify what we should be doing to further engage, you know, with government. You are so right that it's important to actually increase the level of relationship with government, and then also the role of the GAC at some point. And now coming to African countries, yes, we do need to do more outreach. The target is to have at least half of them, you know, at least by next year, participating, you know, efficiently within the GAC. So we want to do the outreach. One of the way we are doing this is in Africa, for instance, countries and regions are now organizing their own IGF, you know, forum, Internet Governance Forum. So what we try to do is make sure that government, you know, representatives, you know, participate into this IGF, local IGF. And it's quite interesting. We just finished one in Cote d'Ivoire, and this is, I think, 3 weeks ago. And it was the government actually that facilitated this meeting. And what is also provided then is this multi-stakeholder approach to some of the issues they are facing. And it was quite a good thing to do. So we would like to be kind of passing through this sort of channel to let them know more about the GAC, more about ICANN work, so that they be really participating into GAC. Your point on increasing fellowship certainly is well taken, and I think it's quite important to some of the countries, at least for the first, you know, the first meeting, that we could facilitate some of this participation. But one of the issues we might be raising also is how do we prepare, you know, those participants, you know, before coming to ICANN. There is some homework to be done. Some of the issues that are raised, they get to be prepared before coming, for instance, to GAC meeting. So there is some work we should be doing, you know, I would say, within Africa itself, is about, I won't say educating, but anyway, enlightening people about, you know, what ICANN does. These are part of, you know, our action plan for this coming financial year. So definitely, I think your recommendations are there, and of course, I'll be discussing this with my other colleagues so that globally we do have solutions, you know, to some of the issues you raised. So, Chair, that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you. We have an intervention from the DAC Chair, Heather.
Thank you. This is a really interesting exchange. I just wanted to add to the discussion recent developments in terms of the membership of the GAC. So I can report that for these meetings we have added 4 new members from the region, and they are Swaziland, Sao Tome and Principe, Madagascar, and Zambia. So that's good news. This brings the overall number of the membership of the GAC to 128. Also, some that have spoken today have talked about some of the regional organizations that participate in the GAC as observers, and of course these are also an important avenue for helping to engage regions and encourage preparation and such for ICANN and GAC meetings. And so we have now 26 observer members. I know the UK had mentioned, for example, the Commonwealth configuration, and there are others as well, like La Francophonie, that are relevant for Africa and so on. So there are a range of avenues along with the Internet Governance Forum and so on, and also the WSIS Plus 10 process, which Iran mentioned. Anyway, so all of these are available to us, but I did want to just give you some numbers about the current state in the GAC and report the good news about adding 4 new members from the region. So thank you.
Thank you, United States.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the presentation. Thank you, Pierre, for the overview. But I also wanted to sort of put in a strong request as a non-member of this region. I personally would have probably found it very interesting to participate in the session that you talked about that began yesterday. And so could I make a very strong suggestion to the Global Stakeholder Group that when you prepare for an ICANN meeting and you think about adding these 2-day sessions on, that you make sure the GAC is well aware, well in advance, and that you facilitate a role for the GAC in these sessions. Because I really just, otherwise I'm a little concerned that I'm not understanding the connection between an ICANN outreach session in the region, and yet here we are in the GAC meeting on a Saturday when there is another meeting going on about the region. So as a non-member, obviously I defer to the members of the region themselves, but I'm grateful that they're here because there is I don't wish to put it this way, but there is potentially a competing session. So I would like to strongly urge more collaboration so that we bring these together, and that I think perhaps that you would find out when you mentioned that you will be reaching out to ministers. I think we've had this discussion, some of us who have been in the GAC longer perhaps than others. When you reach out to ministers of countries who are here at this table, you will end up hearing from the people here at this table. We are the people who brief up. So it doesn't matter where you go in the government, you are going to end up with this community. And so I would just like to reinforce that what we need, what we are looking for, is stronger working relationships, not only amongst ourselves, but with ICANN. And so I would urge that the ICANN multi-stakeholder staff, that you would sort of take this on and see that as a part of your function. I see lots of heads nodding, thank you, that this could facilitate even more engagement so that we're not doing 2 separate tracks. So these are the people who actually represent the governments. And I'm sure that I see a lot of heads nodding. Quite candidly, I think we need to not just, you obviously do want to brief ministers, but that is technically our job. We're happy to brief up. But what we want to do is to be able to talk about how we can better coordinate sort of whatever activities you are engaged in on the market side. We need to add that dimension, I think, on the policy side. So I, for one, am always interested, no matter what region the meeting is in, I'm interested in what my colleagues in these governments think and consider a high priority and wish to discuss. So I would just put in a bid for that. But otherwise, very grateful that you are here and really appreciate the update. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for Pierre? Canada.
Thank you. Pierre, you had touched a little bit about a preparation, and I just wanted to elaborate on that a little bit with respect to Canada's approach in case it is helpful for some of the newer GAC members. While this is my first time attending a GAC meeting, Canada has been heavily involved for some time. We found it to be an effective venue for advancing policy views and sharing policy concerns. Canada's approach has generally been to focus on public policy issues that are of relevance to the Government of Canada, that are a priority for the government, and that are also relevant to the GAC. In bringing these issues forward to the GAC, we develop national positions, consulting with governmental and non-governmental stakeholders as appropriate. For example, in developing Canadian positions on new generic top-level domain names, an interdepartmental committee was formed with representation from across the government, including departments such as industry, foreign affairs, justice, and the Competition Bureau, among others. The government also listened to academia, industry associations, Canadian businesses, and consumers in order to develop a better understanding of the anticipated impacts of new domain names on the market. This approach has served Canada well, and while we recognize that there is no one-size-fits-all model, we would be happy to provide follow-up information to new GAC members that are considering similar approaches. Thank you.
Thank you, Canada. Iran?
Yes, thank you very much, and thanks for Canada. Yes, that is an important issue that was raised because one of the, let us say, topics that we always heard and we would like to realize that in practice is the open, democratic, inclusive, and transparent multi-stakeholder approach. When we talk inclusive, means that you have to involve everybody. And this preparation is very important, perhaps, maybe not only for developed country that mentioned by Canada, but also more importantly for developing country that they gather all information from all concerned entities in their country in order to better reflect that. This is some of the issue that may be further pursued when colleagues come to the meetings. That is very important. The other issue that at least myself, even with more than 42 years of experience in participating in international meetings, diplomatic meetings, and so on and so forth. When I look to the documentations, they are enormous, enormous documentations. Something is missing is if there are important issues, in order to prepare the newcomer to the GAC, perhaps it might be useful to look at the possibility for that important issues to perhaps prepare some sort of executive summary of what the issue is. That would help the reader to prepare herself or himself. Second is, to each document, one need to add the glossary of terms. When you read the documents, and your first time reading the documents, for you is the telegraphic codes. There are so many acronym abbreviations. Then you have to go and find it from the other list, put it in front of you. Perhaps it might be good and useful that, first of all, not to proliferate this use of acronyms as much as they use today, but also at the end of the document, you add the terms glossaries that people immediately look at that one to see what the issue is. When I look to the ICANN bylaws, I see whenever they refer to ICANN, they fully spell that. I am not suggesting that you fully spell everything 10 times or 20 times in a document, but at least at the first time it appears, you fully spell that. The people, they know that what we're talking about. There are so many closed acronyms that is sometimes difficult for the newcomers or people not familiar with that to properly understand that or properly grasp or quickly, as quickly as grasp that. These are the 2 points. But the third point I wanted to come back is what I raised and was not perhaps an answer, but maybe I did not expect an answer today, but is the remote participation process is very, very important. How we could do that? It has helped in some other meetings. In some other meetings that I have attended, which most relates to developing countries, there was interpretation in six languages, UN languages, official, but was a active participation, and that would help the developing country concerned with that particular organ or entity to remotely participate, even if you increase the number of fellowship, but still there is limitations. So you cannot resolve the issue. So what we need to promote the remote participation. How we do that, that is an issue to be discussed. Thank you.
Thank you for the suggestions, Iran. You want to respond, Per?
Well, I think remote participation, for instance, is important, actually. Although in my part of the world, it might be also difficult for some of the people to assess, you know, due to the quality or non-quality of the communication channels, you know, of the networks. But definitely, yes. For instance, the DNS forum we are conducting, we do have remote participation, for instance. So, yes, I think that's something we should be considering to increase, you know, increase participation. And, of course, we say that, well, preparation of participants to these sort of meetings is quite important. And I thank Canada for, you know, what you've said, and definitely, this is high on our agenda to see how we do prepare participation from developing countries and enlightening them on some of the issues before they ever come, you know, to the meeting. I felt that it's quite important in our countries. And what he first says, you are so right, and your points are taken, and definitely we'll be discussing this and so that... You are so right, because let me tell you, right now, in one of the sessions, we are discussing the role of government and CCTLD management, for instance. You see, so definitely we'll do better next time. Sorry about that.
And we have a final question from UK.
From Hungary. Thank you very much. It's probably not a question, but just to underline a couple of points about the role of the GAC and why contributing to the GAC is important, and these could feed into messages for the African strategy and the other regional strategies. And I guess the first thing is to underline what we've already touched on, the importance of the bottom-up policy development processes in ICANN fully taking into account the public interest, the global public interest. Secondly, we're here really to ensure that ICANN is truly multi-stakeholder and globally diverse, and that is all the way up to the board, ensuring the board is globally diverse, represents all interests. When I first joined in 2008, it was pretty much a US and European-centric organization. A lot has changed, and Fadi Chahadeh is certainly committed to further internationalization. We have a role to contribute there. Thirdly, the corporate governance of ICANN. We have to make sure that this organization is run in a way that's accountable, transparent, that policies dealing with conflicts of interest and ethics are top-notch, fully robust and clear for all. because they are serving the global internet community, the internet users across the globe. So that's another important functionality, the corporate governance issues here. And then I think finally, it's important for policymakers really to understand how this domain system works. If given that it's part of the critical infrastructure of the global economy now, we've got to understand how it works. And the only way you'll understand is actually coming to ICANN meetings and engaging with all the technical experts and understanding what's coming down the track, how it's going to change, and so on. So government policymakers have got to be here in order to really understand it. I mean, it's a bit of a no-brainer. You can't track this from a desk in an office in a government ministry. You've got to come and engage and discuss and learn and understand, discuss issues, argue things through, and so on. So that's why taking part in these GAC meetings is vitally important as well. Otherwise, your policy goes wrong, basically. Thanks.
Thank you, Keir Hungry. That's our final question.
Thank you. I just want to reflect upon the remarks made by my friend Aras from Iran concerning the abbreviations, which will be frightening for the newcomers. If you have a look at the meeting document of this 47th meeting of the ICANN, at the end of which you will find a couple of explanations for the abbreviations, and you will find also on the ICANN website a lot of interesting information which will be extremely useful for the newcomers. And in fact, you have some tutorials as well. So I strongly encourage you to take the time and go on the website and find out for yourself. And probably it will give you more light what we are doing here. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. And final question from Belgium.
Bonjour à tous et bonjour en particulier à mes collègues francophones.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to say good morning to my French-speaking colleagues, especially. I don't have a particular question. I just want to comment on what the UK has said. Belgium supports its position. The internationalization of ICANN is a priority for Belgium. When we look at the low level of GTLD applications from Africa, this calls our attention, of course. Of course, ICANN cannot continue to work just leaving aside a part of the states in the world, especially the African states. We support the UK proposal regarding the importance of all the efforts around the issue of governance, the importance that this work has for all participating states. Finally, we have two elements to reflect on. The importance of translating the main documents into the languages used by the African states. I think that would be a very helpful and an extremely important element in order to improve communication with these states, and also for them to know that their voices will be heard and their point of view will be taken into account. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you, Pierre, for joining us today and giving us your thoughts and impressions. And I guess we can feel free to communicate with the chair and vice chairs further to get any information that you may want to share. There are some documents that we'll pass around after that Pierre's kindly left with us on the ICANN strategy. And thank you very much, Pierre.
Welcome. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Right, moving right along, I'd like to maybe call upon UK to spend about 5 minutes just expressing the role of the GAC and what his thoughts are on the GAC process.
Thanks very much, Tracy. Well, I kind of covered much of this off in my last intervention, really, in terms of why contributing to the GAC is important and the role of the GAC. I mean, there's firstly the functionality of the substance of the work of ICANN and ensuring that it fulfills ICANN's objectives consistent with the expectations of governments, and that covers a range of issues regarding the stability and resilience of the domain name system, ensuring that it's strong and it resistant as much as possible to attack and so on, because the system is key to internet and the reliance of the economy. So much of our economies now relies on the internet having a truly functional and secure domain name system that is not vulnerable to attack and abuse by organized crime and so on. I mean, the scale of that is very obvious now, and ICANN has a valuable role to contribute in tackling cybercrime. The evolution, the expansion of the domain name system, we heard from Canada earlier on, the range of issues that are of concern for governments in the rollout of this massive expansion of the generic top-level domains. And we, like Canada and others on the GAC, have undertaken systematic, comprehensive consultations within our administrations to ensure that, in particular, those domains that are going to be active in sectors of the economy which are regulated, such as the financial sector, health sector, gambling, charities, and so on, ensure that our regulators are comfortable with this, that the kind of safeguards that they enforce at the national level, in the offline world, and to a certain extent in the online world, translate to these safeguards translate to the domain name system, and which policy asking that advice is fully considered, responded to, understood, documented, and the GAC interaction with the board is one that's going to produce a result that is consistent with the public policy interest. So that's an important role for us, and it's a role we have to prepare for and consult with both nationally and internationally. Some of us do that within our region, within the European group. The GAC members come together in an informal group, and we exchange views with a view to sort of developing a European approach, and it may be appropriate for other regions to do the same. I know some do that. Secondly, ensuring that ICANN is a truly international entity. That's an important role that we can help contribute to. ICANN has a commitment to that. We can help that commitment. pretty clear that it's almost there as a truly multi-stakeholder entity. Whether it's truly globally representative, I think it's got some way to go, as we've already mentioned. And as I say, this is our channel really into understanding the system, including some of the technical issues. I'm not a technical person. I find some of it very challenging. I also don't have the technical backup I used to have because of cuts in our administration as a result of austerity measures. I don't have a technology geek ready to hand in my office to run things past. But we have to understand how this system is developing, the kind of challenges to it, and that's why, for example, we've got a meeting with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. Let's hear from them what's coming along the track, what needs addressing. They've highlighted some issues in their reports. Really recommend you to look at those before we meet with them. So those are the kind of sort of key elements of why participation in the GAC is important and our fulfillment of the role of the GAC. I hope that's helpful as a kickoff. Thank you.
Thank you, Kay. And we just have two more topics before we anybody on the GAC perhaps, and then to speak
and address some of this intervention. So just to share with colleagues a little bit of sort of our experience and how we've managed over time our preparations for GAC meetings and how we kind of we hold meetings at least once a month, but I'll be quite candid with you. As we were preparing for GAC meetings in Toronto and Beijing, we were meeting weekly on new GTLDs. So just to use the new GTLD process as an example, we undertook even broader outreach than we normally do. So I would give you a sense of the normal sort of interested agencies in the U.S. government would include the Department of State, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, including its sub-entity, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have the Federal Trade Commission, which is responsible for consumer protection law in the United States, and a number of other agencies related to the Department of Commerce, most notably the Patent and Trademark Organization. So those are what I would call more of the traditional sort of interested parties. When we initiated further outreach through the White House with every single federal agency with regard to new GTLDs. We also reached out to every state in the United States through their state's attorneys general and through their secretaries of state, because we need some interest. States like it, and it was amazing, the feedback, the different, and sometimes be a very complicated process. Forget views of other agencies inside our government who have actually direct line responsibility for certain issues. So when it comes to competition policy, I think most of you probably have a similar approach. In our case, that is a primary that within the jurisdiction of the Department of Justice, with some civil responsibility from the Federal Trade Commission as well. So we know that we need to defer completely to certain agencies because that is their particular area of expertise. But we are the point agency. We serve as the coordinating entity, as well as we having a distinct role ourselves in the development of internet-related policy for the White House. So it's a fairly broad kind of outreach that we undertake, but we have found it's really invaluable in getting the views of the specific agencies as we develop our own national positions. We also, much as Canada pointed out, we reach out on a fairly regular basis to academia, to civil society, to the business community, and that would not just be registries and registrars, but it's also sort of business users. So obviously business users are a major, major component, because quite frankly, the funding for ICANN, while it sort of comes through registrars and registries as a conduit, the funding comes from every single registrant in the world. So anybody who registers a domain name is actually paying for this entire system. So to us, that's a very critical element. And we sort of feel that as though we are driven by trying to represent the U.S. If not this week and online, it would be the United States government. We attach an enormous importance to the role of the GAC and ICANN. And I'm going to be very candid with you, my assistant secretary, a very strictly member. With a particular emphasis on the importance of the role of the GAC in ICANN and the important role that we play in advancing public policy concerns. So speaking as your GAC counterpart from the United States, one thing that I find invaluable about the GAC is my ability to understand better what your governments consider to be important. What are the priorities from your national perspective? So that, to me, is another invaluable element that I think perhaps we might ourselves want to identify more time at each GAC meeting where we have an opportunity, whether we do it through a regional capacity building session so we can hear from the governments in the region, or whether we just add it on as a normal sort of GAC working method kind of approach where we have that opportunity to compare notes and we can share our respective approaches with each other. So one proposal I have, or one suggestion, and I'd welcome feedback, and if it's a terrible proposal, please say so. Nobody should be shy. Of developing country issues that you all, that you face that might be unique, but that all of us face, I confess I share the same as long as I've done this. I still feel quite ignorant about how the market actually works. The negotiation improved the registrar accreditation agreement, I can tell you, and that was an eye-opener. I really had no idea just how automated their systems are, how it's all driven by software, so some of the things that we might ask them to do would require some significant changes on their part. I did not know that until I had the opportunity to sit across the table face-to-face with the registrar negotiating team. I spent some time with the registry operator for .us simply because they operate under contract to the Department of Commerce. It's not my personal responsibility, it's a colleague's. But I realized other than that, I don't spend very much time with registries in the GTLD space. You may not either. Most of us know our registry operator for the country code, top-level domain. So it's something that we can think about as well, like do we need to work in sessions? In addition to, as Mark pointed out, we are meeting with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. That helps us enormously. But do we need to have Registry 101 briefings, Registrar 101? I, for one, would still like them. As long as I've been doing this, I still feel as though I don't really know how the market works. There are going to be new brand registry operators. I'm fascinated by how these people are going to operate as registries. I have really no understanding of that. So I think there are a couple of different ways we can tackle sort of fillings, the knowledge gap. But I think we might want our heads together, maybe one issue that we would all find benefit. I would welcome as to how we might sort of ourselves. One final suggestion is that we as GAC consider a, we haven't done it for many, many years. We tried it once or twice in the midst of, but to add on a one or two social occasions just for ourselves, so that we have a GAC lunch on day one or a GAC dinner where we have an opportunity to sit more face-to-face. I mean, I'll be quite candid with you. My eyesight is probably fading as I get older, but I can't even see some faces across the room here because we're so far apart. So I would urge us to maybe consider borrowing a page from some of our colleagues. In fact, the CCNSO comes to mind. They actually engage in quite a few social events with themselves in order to facilitate just better relationships. So I would put that out there as a suggestion that we tackle for our next meeting. Thank you.
All right, thank you, US. I know UK had a question, but I just wanted to give the floor to Heather just for the topic of the new GTLDs and maybe some next steps, and then we could toss to UK for a final question and comment. Thanks.
Thank you. So I was only going to touch briefly on GTLDs because we've run out of time, I think, for this session, and some of us may have made arrangements to meet and this kind of thing. But just to touch briefly upon that, really to talk about what are some of the key issues in the week coming up for the GAC. So some concluding points rolled in with that is what I would like to do. Just to pick up some of the U.S., first of all, we can come in the GAC about have a working group to make participation a bit easier for that kind of as about briefings, I would just draw everyone's attention to a briefing that is for the GAC on Thursday morning, a briefing by an organization called Arquitelos, and it's on the domain name market. I've heard the presentations myself. I think it's quite interesting. And it's all designed to be informative for GAC representatives. So I would really encourage you to attend that at the end of our meetings this week. And that may be the kind of thing that the U.S. is perhaps suggesting that we try to do make use of this opportunity when we're convened like this. Just a point on the new GTLD program, which has been referred to a number of times in these discussions. It is a large undertaking, and it's a process that has been underway for several years. And the GAC has had a particular role in providing what were called early warnings and then GAC advice that we still are working on as far as a certain set of strings and applications are concerned. But you know, that's the particular GAC role that we've had that's really new and is an enhanced role, if you will, for governments to comment on this broad expansion within new GTLDs. And it processed to ICANN at home view. We have a consultation with the board over a period of about 6 months in order to have the program and the rules associated with it be much more responsive to the public policy concerns that were being brought forth by the GAC. And success. However, there were outstanding issues, and we do have some of those to work on at this meeting, so these are priorities for us here in Durban. We have some items from our Beijing communique where we will need to consult with our colleagues on the board, new GTLD program committee. I mentioned the list of strings for further consideration, and so we will need to discuss those this week as well. We are still working on an approach to implementing protections for acronyms for intergovernmental organizations. The board has come back and asked some questions of us and our colleagues at the IGOs in order to come up with an approach so that it can be applied for the current round at the second level, we have what I think will be an interesting briefing with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee this week, because we've been so preoccupied with the GTLD program and our role regarding controversial or sensitive strings and applications, we've not been able to look at a range of issues that are being discussed within this organization. So very much so at this meeting, we will be coming back to assess and take stock of, okay, the GAC might want perhaps to create working groups and organize our, gives you a sense of the key issues that we will be discussing over the next few days. And again, please do attend the Archipelago's briefing on Thursday morning. I think you will find it interesting. So, thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Heather. And as we wrap up, I know Mark had maybe a final comment or intervention. Quickly, Mark, can you?
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to pick up the U.S. First point about national policy perspectives on the role of the GAC and ICANN, underline for new colleagues that contributing to the accountability and transparency review, the second review, is important. This review is taking place, as was noted by Iran, at the time of the review, the 10-year review of the outputs and implementation of the recommendations of the World Summit on the Information Society, which underlined and implemented the importance of multi-stakeholder model of internet governance, and ICANN is one of the pillars of multi-stakeholderism. Four governments contributed to the questionnaire consultation undertaken by the review team in April and May. It was Denmark, Sweden, Norway, and the UK. So we went very public, both to explain the issues and opportunities and what still needs fixing, what's gone well, because as Heather pointed out, the review is about considering the first review and what's been done since the first review, the implementation of the recommendations from the first review. So four countries contributed to that and went public. And it's helpful for the ICANN community for them to understand what governments think, what do governments feel works well, what doesn't work well, what needs changing. So I just wanted to underline that. It's helpful for other governments to know what you're thinking and what you're advising your ministers and so on. It's helpful for the community, and it's within this context of the overall review of internet governance. So we will have a session, I forget, is it tomorrow with the ATRT2? Heather, I can't remember. But there's a session coming up this week when you have that opportunity to interact directly with the review team. And I hope very much colleagues will seize that opportunity and continue to interact and contribute. And I am very interested to know what you're thinking. Thank you.
All right. We need to close this session. I'm seeing a final quick comment from Costa Rica.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I was expecting our colleague from UK to tell you that tomorrow from 16:30, we have 1.5-hour session with the ATRT to committee in Hall 4AB, which is just next door. I want to praise the four governments that gave written comments. Also, last session in Beijing, you had a very active participation of some countries, so I will invite everybody to join that session tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much, and thank you all for participating today. I'd like to encourage you to, again, visit the GAC website, and if you don't have your credentials, check with Jeannie to get your credentials. All the documentation for today's session is there, as well as for the meetings, the archives from the previous meetings, all information that maybe even Iran was suggesting. It's all there on the website. Get your information, your logins, and have a look. Thank you all for participating so richly. And we'll do this again short another time. Thank you very much.
Everyone, so we convene at 2 p.m. in this room to restart our GAC meetings. Thank you.
There are some ICANN Africa strategy documents. I will leave them at the secretariat table by Jeannie. You can collect on your way out.